All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds special Comic-Con episode with Rick Myers. We're going to be talking about all things martial arts. And it's very special. Rick has a iPad up to his face right now, and he's Skyping in. And now it's the 50th anniversary of Comic-Con. Rick, what's it like right there, right now, before we get there?
It's surprisingly astonishing. I'm actually out on the street. And the iPad was grabbed by three Jesus freaks, and they're running down toward the water with it. So I'm just working on my iPhone at the moment.
Yeah.
And I am passing the boys' restaurant on my right. I am passing the Good Place restaurant on my left. In front of me is the Brooklyn Nine-Nine restaurant. In other words, for the last couple of years, the studios and the networks have bought up every hotel and every restaurant, and they theme every restaurant and every hotel.
Right.
And it's awesome. So
if you don't have a badge, you can literally...
I'm like off the map.
So even if you don't have a badge, you could go down there and enjoy like all sorts of different things.
No, you can't. Because they have now cordoned off the San Diego Convention Center. If you don't have a Comic-Con badge, you don't get within a half mile of it.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm actually a fan of that.
Yeah.
Me too. Mm. Oh, very much so. Because I mentioned the Jesus Freaks knowingly, because one of the main reasons they instituted that rule is that we had very passionate, shall we say, religious people yelling at the fans. Very close to the convention center, right across the street, in fact.
I remember
that. The city basically said, this will not stand.
And now, for as far as like walking through, like, you know, you still have to get your badge. Like, what do you show your credentials and say, hey, I'm going to get my badge. Can you please let me into perimeter?
As you know, you have an email.
Yes.
You have an email with a barcode.
Right.
And if you show them that you have that email and that barcode, then they let you through to get your badge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is what you'll do when you guys show up.
Yes.
Yes. I'm actually pulling that up on my phone right now, so I have all of this information.
So now we're super excited. We do the superhero kung fu movie extravaganza every year with you, Rick. Thanks again for inviting us. We have a great time every time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we can expect this year?
Well, I will tell you, because it is no longer the Kung Fu movie extravaganza. It's the Kung Fu extravaganza, because this year we have animation, we have video games, we have Bollywood, we have the designer of the action in the new Avengers video game. We also have one of the actors, as you know, Eric Jacobus.
Of course.
Who starred in the God of War video game and the Mortal Kombat 11 video game. So we're extending the superhero kung fu extravaganza to all platforms.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
So would you say that you're evolving into the next higher level of kung fu extravaganza?
Yes.
No, I'm just enjoying everything, and I want to include everything. That's how I started my entire career. If I didn't love kung fu movies, I wouldn't have cared about them. They were so exciting and exhilarating, so that's why I get into it. My whole career has been sharing what I love with everybody. So it's like if I just stayed with movies, that wouldn't be fair to me, because I love the video games, I love the animation, I love it all. So of course I'm going to include it in the extravaganza, because it's mine.
Well, you know, that's the great thing of being in charge. You can make it anything you want. So
yes, I'll even let the comedy film nerds in.
Nice. But so why don't we focus a little bit on the actual movies that you'll be showing, too, so we can, we can let fans know what to look for sure.
Oh, my gosh. It's a 2.5-hour show. It's every Thursday. This year, we're going to be introducing...
By the way, the longest panel at Comic-Con, right? longest panel at Comic-Con, right?
I think so. I actually never checked on that. That's a good idea. I think I will check on that and then get some sort of trophy. I want some sort of trophy or medal for that.
So do we.
But it's a long one. It's one of the longer ones, that's for sure. So we start with introductions of some people that'll be familiar for you guys, as well as Eric Jacobus. Eric is bringing the premiere of his new short film, Pizza Time, which is I've already seen, which is a lot of fun. He's also bringing its director. Then he's bringing in a behind-the-scenes video of the making of the Avengers video game. And we're also going to have a high-ranking gentleman named Brennan Lane from Wellgo USA, the number one distributor of Chinese films in America. We also have an exclusive box of the new Ip Man movie, which is a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive with a limited edition, which we're going to be touting. He also has Hi-Ya, which we're going to have clips from. Miko Mai, who worked on the new Will Smith animated movie Spies in Disguise, is bringing a clip and going to be discussing that. And so that's just the prelude to everything. And then we hit the movies, which include Zhang Yimou's, who made Hero and The House of Flying Daggers and The Curse of the Golden Flower. We're also going to have a 20-minute clip from his amazing new movie called Shadow.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, Shadow is an astonishing historical effort. It's indescribable. It's available. It's going to be available on video and Wellgo USA DVD and Blu-ray. And I just strongly I suggest everybody see it. It will blow your minds. And then we have what's happening now, because Hong Kong continues and Hong Kong cinema continues to slowly disappear. It's slowly being forced out of existence because China now runs Hong Kong. So there's a lot of movies that are generally called Hong Kong nostalgia. So we're going to have several clips from these movies that are throwbacks to the glory days of Hong Kong cinema. There's a movie called Golden Job, and I'm trying to remember the other movie that we're showing stuff from.
Well, tell us
I'm
a
on
little...
a podcast, so we're just going to talk in here, but also we have to. All right.
Tell us a little bit about, like, when you say the golden age of Hong Kong cinema, like, what would that, like, include, and what made it the golden age?
Well, these were the best Kung Fu movies ever made by Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, Yun Biao, Donnie Yen, and also John Woo and Chow Yun Fat. That was the Gun Fu era in the 90s. And when China took over the governorship of Hong Kong in 97, then they started to slowly push that out, to slowly move it back toward the kind of propaganda mainland China has always been propagating. So now, as I'm sure you've heard about the incredible demonstrations that are going on in Hong Kong right now, there's in cinema, because they're being forced out, they believe the biggest market in the world is China. They have more theaters, they have more theater-going public than any other country. So
every
Marvel,
studio wants a piece of that pie.
Kowtows to them, huh?
Every studio wants a piece of that pie, all the American studios, for sure.
Exactly. Except the Hong Kong don't want to kowtow because they're living under an increasingly repressive situation. So what happens is that, and no matter how good the movie they make, China will suddenly go, oh, no, we don't like it. We're not going to let it. We're not going to let it into China. You can't show this in Chinese theater. You have to keep it in Hong Kong theater. So the Hong Kong just sort of go, all right, we're just going to make movies for us. No other countries are going to be buying our movies. America, everybody who wants a piece of the China pie are not going to be getting Hong Kong because they're afraid that it'll upset China, and then China won't buy their movies. So China is on Hong Kong is on an increasingly smaller island. And so they make movies to please their people, which turn out to be these throwbacks to the Chow Yun-Fat, John Woo movies like Hard Boiled and The Killer. Throwbacks to the... Don't mention Jackie Chan in Hong Kong. Do not mention Jackie Chan in Hong Kong, because Jackie Chan is siding with China when it comes to the demonstration.
Well, now how does that work with like the distributors? Does that mean like places like Wellgo, they can't grab the Hong Kong movies because they need to get the Chinese movies? Like, do they have to pick? Like, is that like, do you have to pick sides like Jackie Chan did?
They have to be aware. They have to be aware of it. I mean, Wellgo is representing the Golden Job, which is a throwback to the Young and Dangerous triad action movies of the 80s and 90s. But they also have to be acutely aware of what China thinks about it. And if China gives them sort of like the tacit, it's not permission, it's like a tacit, okay. But then they have to also be aware of what China is going to do about it, or what China's going to do, period. Recently, Welko was scheduled to release a film on a Friday, and on Tuesday, China got in touch with them and said, no.
Wow.
We've decided to reschedule the release, because we can't release anything in America until a Chinese film. We can't release a Chinese film in America until China releases it.
Right.
And
right.
So, again, the China Film Bureau has become even more, I don't know, I can't say repressive, attentive, let's say. Because what happens is Wu Jing makes Wolf Warrior 2, the most successful movie in Chinese history. And suddenly the Chinese Film Bureau says, okay, we can't have movies glorifying guns and war anymore. So suddenly Wolf Warrior 3 is off the map. And another recently also, the opening of the, I think, the Singapore Film Festival was going to be this amazing movie that China said, no, we're not going to. I mean, the screening was canceled, and no one has been able to get the film festival to admit it was because of Chinese pressure. Meanwhile, Zhang Yimou, who made Shadow, also made this incredible movie, which I believe is called The 15 Seconds, or just called 15 Seconds, which is a movie about the Cultural Revolution. And The 15 Seconds is 15 seconds of a video film that a professor sees that may include his missing daughter, who disappeared during the Cultural Revolution. And China suddenly went, oh, I don't know. And it's not.
That sounds like a great movie. I want to see that movie now.
It's an astonishing. Well, so did the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, because they wanted it to be the representation of China for the Oscars this year. Guess what's not a representation of China film for the Oscars this year?
Yeah.
That movie. So it's a very, let's put it this way, I believe it's a Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. We're living in an interesting time. But it's not affecting the extravaganza, baby. No way. Because I'm bringing in movies from Korea. And this year we had the big one from the Philippines last year, By Bust. This year we're bringing in Fury, which is the big one from Vietnam.
Now, I always have to ask this, Rick. You know, you always have the really cool movies and, you know, from all over the place. But is there that slot that Kung Fu Yoga always takes every year? Is there that, you know, that crazy martial arts type ones that shouldn't exist but does? We love seeing that one as well.
Me too. And I wish I had more of them. Well, basically, the Korean and the Vietnamese one will suffice. But I have a 3 or 4 minute clip at Tops of a movie called Unity of Heroes. And I'm planning to end the show with that one. And I'm going to let you see it, and then you can talk about it on a future podcast if you wish. Nothing will ever be as good as Kung Fu Yoga. Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
But, yeah, until Jackie decides to do it. And he'll have to do it with China's permission, because China is his manager now, basically. Mm-hmm. So be that as it may. But I hope you'll enjoy. We've got some fun stuff, and we've got some extras and surprises that hopefully will delight everyone. And also, I'm going to start the extravaganza by yelling at Marvel, so I'm looking forward to that.
Don't you start every extravaganza that way?
Well, I yell at somebody.
Yeah.
But rarely Marvel, because they're doing it right. But after Black Panther, I'm going to tell them, look, because they're planning in their phase. That's another thing that's happening. Comic-Con, which is hugely influential on the energy here. After 3 years, Marvel is coming back, and they're coming back with both barrels. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a panel on Saturday where the rumor is they're bringing the entire cast for every Phase 4 film, including footage from the ones that are already being made. And one of them that is being made is Marvel's Kung Fu character, Shang-Chi.
Yes.
And what I'm going to be yelling at them about is, don't Black Panther them, don't Blaxploitation them, don't whitewash them, and more importantly, don't Bruceploitation them. I said, I know you're not going to whitewash the cast, don't whitewash the action. Don't make the action the same nonsense MMA we've been seeing since Bruce Lee's death in 1973. Don't do what Bruce Lee did in 73. Do what Bruce would be doing now, more than 40 years later. And if you want to know what Bruce would be doing now, just talk to me. Because I did a speech in October of 2017 at the Walt Disney Animation Studios called Kung Fu and the Art of Screen Action. And I said, you don't even have to talk to me. Just go watch that, because it's in their permanent library of guest lecturers over at the Walt Disney Animation Studios. So that's what I'm going to do.
Wow. All right. That's quite an agenda.
Well, yeah. You know, it's all about me, baby.
Yeah. Great. So what else can we look forward to?
Well, basically, I mean, we can spend an hour on virtually everything. I also have all the action films of the last year from July of 2018 to July this year, and we can go over every single one of them. The major one is going to be John Wick 3.
Oh, of course, yeah.
John Wick, yeah.
Parabellum?
Has some awesome stuff, but I think I mentioned that last year.
Mm-hmm.
But John Wick 3 I want to talk about because it's representative of the kind of action that is predominant in America now, which is what I call physiology-free video game action, in that the characters are not human anymore. They take more abuse. They only take the kind of abuse that video game characters, and also the fights look like video game cutscenes, and they look like video game play. Because if you saw John Wick 3, he took an abuse that entire nations couldn't withstand.
No, no.
And he still,
I mean,
he still lived.
Yeah, you just have to assume that he is bulletproof and that he's also knife proof.
He's everything proof.
And he's inexhaustible.
He's everything proof. But yeah. The problem that I have with that, and I can see it in the movies, is that he's no longer relatable as a human being. So therefore, there's no way to care about him. And what Marvel does so well is make you care about superheroes. And something else that I think I'm unique in promoting, and we're going to talk about this, is called the Endgame effect. Endgame, Avengers Endgame, made the modern audience aware of what cinema is capable of, specifically theater cinema. In other words, the effect of Avengers Endgame at home, in private, or on your platforms is nothing compared to it in a movie theater with people around you. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, there were many movies where people would laugh at the same time, people would cry at the same time, people would cheer at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much anymore, until Endgame. The thing that's fascinating about Endgame is that I went to see it three times, and each of the three times, I've been in other Marvel movies where people would react differently. If fans of Spider-Man would react one time, people who didn't know about Spider-Man would react at another time. In Endgame, everyone reacted at least five times the exact same way.
And did you see?
And they shared all the energy.
Did you see the re-release when they added some footage?
No, because that footage was nonsense. I had people report to me about it. It was essentially useless. There was no reason to go see the new one.
Right.
However, what has happened since then? Because people. Critics are calling it, and the media is calling it franchise fatigue. It's not franchise fatigue. It's the Endgame effect, in that people will go see Men in Black International and the other movies that have failed, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And it's fine. Those are fine movies. They're not great, but they're okay.
All right. I have to disagree with that point, that the remake of Men in Black is a fine movie. That's it. My daughter wanted to see it, and I almost grounded her. So,
but the point here is that consciously or subconsciously, the audience knows what movies in the theater are capable of now. And when the subsequent movie does not match it, then suddenly it's franchise fatigue. Mm-hmm. It's not franchise fatigue. Because look what happened with Spider-Man, Far From Home, which is an extraordinary movie. It's like three different movies in one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the action in and of itself is not as important as its self-awareness of what they themselves have done to the cinema audience. Because the last half of that movie is, if you've seen that movie, you haven't done a spoiler yet on it, have you?
We haven't, no. But we've seen it.
Far From Home, you should. But as you know, there's something that happens almost exactly 1 hour into the movie that changes the movie. And then the rest of the movie is basically a brilliant treatise on how Marvel superhero movies have affected the audience. It's really, and so I'm watching, my jaws dropped while I was watching Spider-Man Far From Home.
It's a fun movie.
Because, just, and then, of course,
it's more than a fun movie. Yeah, we just talked about it in the other episode, and what I really liked about it is because when you have this trajectory of, you know, you have Captain Marvel, and then you have Endgame, and then you have Spider-Man, it's almost like an epilogue. Like, one movie has to kind of be the epilogue of what everything happened, because there's no way it's going to be as big as Endgame. It just can't be. So, you know, you switch directions, and you kind of mix a superhero movie with a romantic comedy and a teen comedy, and you put all these other elements together, and I thought it really worked well.
And a John Hughes comedy.
Right, and a John
but
Hughes comedy.
The secret part of it is that it's a comment on itself.
Yeah.
The fact that Mysterio is presenting himself in a certain way, the way the movies present themselves, and he's dealing with the audience, specifically Spider-Man, in a different way than he does. It's, if you go back and watch it, and I've watched it repeatedly, the commentary on itself and on what Marvel has wrought is so smart and so layered. And of course, at the end of the movie, they turn it on its head again.
You bring up an interesting point, because we just got done talking about, we haven't done a spoiler rep on it, but we just got done talking about Far From Home. And when you mentioned that second half, it makes me now, I like the movie, but in the last episode, I said, yeah, there's some parts that were just, it didn't live up to that, my expectations, because Homecoming was so fun. But when you say that and the commentary and how they use Mysterio to make a commentary, now I'm like, I need to see it again, because I bet you it's,
you do.
Looking at it this way, I'll like it even more.
Watch the movies that Mysterio is playing for Spider-Man, for Spider-Man's benefit. He's playing movies for him. He's showing him things. Also, you'll notice, and a tiny little spoiler alert, the villain of the movie is actually Mysterio and Tony Stark.
Right.
Iron Man is both the hero and the villain of the movie. Mm-hmm. It's just so and again, the satire of the way the audience responds to superheroes and Mysterio's final line about the nature of beliefs. And it also attacks the critics who attack superhero movies, and Bill Maher, who attacks and that other podcast guy with WTF with Mark Maron, the way he attacks superhero movies. It's also addressing them, because these are movies about people who happen to be superheroes that, unlike virtually every other action movie of the past year, I care about. I know they can't be hurt. I know they can't really die, because in comics you learn that very, but I care about them during the run of the movie. I care what happens to them. And Spider-Man is hit by a bullet train and he lives.
Right.
So I know it's not about his death anymore. It's about how he feels about things.
Right.
And the final thing that happens to him in the movie, again, changes the way he feels about the way he's living his life. Mm-hmm. I'm not rooting for John Wick. I'm rooting for Peter Parker.
You can't root for John Wick because you know he's
right.
just he's
right.
every scene to every scene he's just gonna, you know, kill 100 more people and then go to the next scene where he kills another 100 people. So there's nothing really to root for. All right, Rick, we're going to take a break and do some Patreon sponsors. They are here at the $50 level every episode. And right now we have Johnny Rulon promoting his new novel, Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com, happyhorrorshowproductions.com. Fanboy Planet is a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for your comics news, your movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com, fanboyplanet.com. And from Chris Parker Howard, Coffee Over Suicide, it's a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com. That's coffeeoversuicide.com. And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. The shows were recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. Check out alicefrazier.com with an S, alicefrazier.com. And the Art Podcast with Rebecca Evans. We move past hesitation, we're true to ourselves, we find our own art and life. New episode with artist Mickey Caputo, theartpodcasts.com with an S, theartpodcast.com. And a new Patreon sponsor, hello, Tony McFadden. It's an Aussie noir novel, The Murder of Jeremy Brooks. The police said it was a mugging gone bad, but she thinks it was a targeted attack. More info at tonymcfadden.net/JB. TonyMcFadden.net/JB. All right. Thanks, Patreon subscribers.
Just go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds and you can support this show. You get bonus content. Well, you get to hear all kinds of different fun and interesting stuff, and you get to support the show. So thanks for listening.
They didn't learn the Jackie Chan lesson in John Wick 3, which is the fights at the beginning are far superior to the fights at the end.
Oh.
And a good action movie should build.
It's got to ramp
and
up.
The final fight should be the best one.
Well,
and
you know,
Jackie Chan did that for decades.
I'm seeing that like a lot of action movies, and I think some of it, like I thought, you remember that movie Triple Frontier with Ben Affleck that was on Netflix?
Right.
It was absolutely an abysmal film, but it really felt like they ran out of money at the end, like there's supposed to be this big fight scene, and there's like there's like four teenagers in a Jeep chasing them at the end.
That's right.
Like, oh, I guess, all right, somebody ran out of money at the end of the shooting schedule. So I feel like, there's multiple reasons why these endings can be anticlimactic.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what do you feel about the state of, like, action movies in general now, not just Asian, like, also American action movies? Like, where should we be going from here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was talking about all those in the last half hour or however long I've been blabbing. The physiology-free video game fight movies are all American ones. I mean, we can include Anna, which was the last Luc Besson one, which, again, these are physiology-free video game movies where it's almost impossible to care about the leading character. Where we should go is what I'm telling them to do with Shang-Chi and the second Black Panther, which is make the fights as important to the film as the rest of the movie.
But
if the fight can be removed from the film without affecting the film, it's not a good fight scene.
Where would you fit in
the fight scene in character?
Yeah, like Atomic Blonde. Those fight scenes, you really felt her get hurt as she was fighting.
But the problem with Atomic Blonde was that she only got hurt in one fight scene. In the first four fight scenes, she doesn't get hurt at all. And suddenly on the stairs, she suddenly gets hurt. And I'm going, what just happened? Why didn't we see her get weak or get wounded? Because in the earlier fight scenes, she didn't have that problem. No. Even an Atomic Blonde is guilty of not building it correctly and not doing it structurally correct. I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast before, but a great example of where it could have gone right and how they should have done it right was Black Panther. And the only thing wrong with Black Panther was the fight scenes. We start with two fight scenes, and one of it is the Panther tribe versus the ape tribe. And if you've seen any of the early Jackie Chan movies like Snake and Eagle Shadow or Drunken Monkey in a Tiger's Eye, you had a natural setup there. Suddenly, when they were pressed, the ape tribe should have gone ape in their fighting and Panther should have gone Panther in his fighting. The audience would have recognized it instantly and would have reacted and perked up because, wow, let's see how a panther would fight an ape. And then they would do these little clever, like when if the ape guy got put back, he would suddenly react the way an ape reacts when he's pushed back, which he would pound his chest at one point. And the audience would laugh because they would recognize it. That's one way. That's a simple way of doing it. But the final two fights with Killmonger were so naturally perfect for how to tell a story and how to inform character through fight scenes. The first fight scene with Killmonger, he should have been the angry, tantrum-throwing, tragic child who discovered his dead father. He should have gone ballistic on T'Challa. And we should have recognized that he was a kid releasing all the agony and sadness and grieving that he had been doing for the last 30 years. And that would have surprised Takala, and of course, Killmonger would have won. But then the second fight, the final fight between the two of them, Killmonger should have been 100% Killmonger. He should have gone full Killmonger. He should have brought everything he learned on how to be an assassin from all these different years of these assignments and brought it to bear on T'Challa. And T'Challa would have been pushed back, because by then T'Challa would have realized his mistake. T'Challa would have realized how hurt this guy was and what an injustice T'Challa had done to him all those years ago. And that's the way T'Challa should have won. If anyone in your listening audience or right now, if any of you can explain to me how T'Challa won that final fight against Killmonger, I dare you. There's no way to figure out how he won. He won because he did.
Don't taunt the audience, Rick.
Yeah. So please, come to the Comic-Con and tell me how T'Challa won that fight. There's no way to figure it out. But had T'Challa won the fight because he suddenly cared about Killmonger, he would have shown him the love he should have shown him originally. Because in Kung Fu, we've learned that inner energy and love is always more powerful than anger and muscles and fists. That's always.
Right. Always turn and an enemy into Kung a friend. Fu. That's Kung Fu, right?
Yeah, and that's right. And what he should have done is at the end of the movie, he should have allowed himself to be killed by Killmonger, but then something would have happened where Killmonger would wind up almost destroying himself. Because he would finally have gotten the apology he needed from T'Challa, and it would have been a wildly emotional, extremely effective ending. I am happy to tell you at Marvel how to do it, guys, and I want you to do it from now on.
Well,
I want you to do it from now on.
They probably figured, well, we can't kill Black Panther too many times. We're already dusting him and bringing him back, you know. So,
but I want to see him. I want to see him learn. I want to see him learn. In the next movie, I would love for him to do it. His villain in the way he should have dealt with Killmonger, with love and consideration and understanding.
All right, that's harder to choreograph, but okay.
You are far more powerful if you do that. Mm. Far more powerful.
So, all right. So,
yeah, baby.
Anything we want to add for the for Comic-Con or for the Kung Fu movie? Oh, excuse me, Kung Fu Superhero Extravaganza. Sans movie.
I'm excited. I'm excited again. I mean, this is. I think we're trying to figure. We always ask this. It's like our seventh year that Comedy Film Nerds has been involved in this. Or
it seems like
six?
Forever.
Yeah,
true enough.
Chris and I are tedious.
No, if you guys can do a follow-up, depending on your schedule, if you guys want to talk about your experiences at Comic-Con and the event, I think that would be awesome, because this is the 50th anniversary of the San Diego Comic-Con, and the energy is here is unlike any other year.
Wow.
Yeah, we should try to figure that out, because it'll be cool to talk about kind of. It'd be interesting for us to go through.
That should make parking even easier.
Yeah, all of our.
No. Yeah.
It should, you know, we should talk about how all the, like, the highlights of all the years that we've done and things that we've experienced, not just on your panel, but all the other things I've been been a part of at Comic-Con, and the things I've seen, and some of every stuff that stands out to me. And that'd be an interesting episode to talk. We should do that in honor of the 50th anniversary.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do a little wrap-up.
And you could also add in a little a Spider-Man Far From Home spoiler. I'll be happy to contribute to that, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, let's see if we can figure that out while we're down there. Figure that out. Yep. If not, we'll do another Skype or something, because that'd be a great episode.
Yep.
And I'll actually be in a quiet room with my iPad at that point.
Excellent.
Well, you're going to get it back from the Jesus freaks who threw it in the ocean?
Not allowed. They're not allowed anymore. Wait till you see this place. The Rick and Morty installation alone is like eye bulging. It's just incredible here now.
I can't imagine. That's I'm excited because I'm going to be at the Starburns booth signing.
Oh yeah, awesome! I'm going to try to make it to that, definitely.
Oh cool, yeah, that's Friday at get a plug in right now. Friday at noon at the Starburns press table at M04.
There you go.
So
I'll be in the back waving.
Yeah. That will be awesome. I'm going to pretend all the people milling around in front of the table are in line. So I'm going to take a picture that way.
Good for you.
Perfect.
Like, see, look at all these people. They can't even get to the table. So Rick, well, thanks again. We can't wait to do it, as we can't wait to do it every year. Any closing thoughts on the ramp up to Comic-Con this year?
Unfortunately, it's too late for that. It's already ramped up. I feel like Evel Knievel. I feel like I'm over the valley at the moment. It's really pretty astonishing. But I will say, everybody, be nice. Just be nice. I'm Kung Fu Santa. Be nice. And it'll pay off.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Rick, thank you so much for the preview. We can't wait to see you. We love doing it. We love coming down to San Diego. This is a blast. It's a highlight of the year for us at Comedy Film Nerd. So we appreciate it. We're grateful and look forward to seeing you.
I'm right back at you, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Rick. We will see you very shortly.
I'm looking forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And remember,
Han shot first.
Shot first.
Ha 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 ha.